All right, good evening, everybody. Good to see everybody out tonight. Tristan stole my opening line there about the turkey, so I guess if I catch anybody sleeping, we'll blame it on the turkey dinner we had today. So I'll just start off by saying who I am. My name is Caleb, and my dad is many of you may know who he is. His name is Wayne Gendon, and my mom, Veronica Gendon, my family. We all moved here from BC a few years ago. And so to start off, I'm actually just going to start off by like saying why I'm actually up here right now. Dave, who's one of our elders, he just texted me one day while I was at work, and he asked me if I want to do my devotional, or my testimony, sorry. And honestly, when I first saw the text message, I kind of looked at it and then put it back in my pocket. And it's not because I don't like Dave at all. It's just the fact that I'm not much of a guy to come up and speak to a group of people, but I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I thought it would be a good idea to do it, and that's because I feel as if I share my story and how God worked in my life, I pray that that may also be useful for anybody who is here, who is maybe in the same situation I was, or maybe will be. So I was born in Guatemala. Many of you have probably already heard this whole story and where I've come from and all this stuff, but I'll just give a brief little talk on where it all started, I guess. So I was born in Guatemala. My dad, he was a missionary, and he went down to El Salvador, and that's when he did his missionary work. So as a family, we all moved together to El Salvador and helped him out with the missionary work down there, and that was from as little as just passing out tracts, knocking door to door, inviting kids out to the vacation Bible schools that we had down in El Salvador. And we also played music together with my family on Sundays and just wherever we could. And we reached out to a lot of people in the town down there. And Dad, he went every year down there. And actually, we lived there for a long, long time. But now what he does is he travels back and forth to still work in that ministry. Growing up in a Christian home, it was now that I look back, it was honestly a true blessing to be growing up in that environment. And the reason why is because I realize that a lot of people now they don't have that opportunity or blessing to grow up in a Christian home, and it's a whole different ball game. It's very difficult. So I can say I was truly blessed to grow up with that, listening to God's word, listening to the message, and getting to meet new people and share the word. And where it all started for me when I first got saved, or when I first became saved, got to know Christ, was at a very young age of, I want to say about like 6 or 7 years old. I don't remember the exact date or anything like that, but I know when it happened. I can remember vividly how it happened too. And how it went was, Dad was having these messages on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And what he did was, he was doing like a series of, I believe the movies were called A Thief in the Night. And if you know what those movies are, they're really good to watch. They're pretty old, but the message is still really good. And it really brings out the gospel and the reality of what happens after death and what happens to this earth in the future. And it talks about, there's a few movies that talk about what's going to happen in the times of Revelation, which is in the future. And explains it really well. But the one that I watched that night, it was a Wednesday night prayer meeting, was one about two men, and they went to a gospel message. And there was this preacher. These bikers came to the gospel message, and they sat in the back. And they kind of just snuck in halfway through the meeting. But they got invited to go there. And what happened was they were listening to it, and one of the friends was kind of a little hesitant on what the preacher was saying. He wasn't really liking it. So what he did is he got up and he left. But the other friend, he was really listening to the message. He was paying attention. He was grasping on what the preacher had to say. And I believe the other guy, he felt like he was being spoken to by God. And so what he did, once his friend left, he went after him just to check up on him. And he went on his bike and he followed him. And halfway, a few miles down the road, I believe, he found his friend on the side of the road, and he just passed away. He got in an accident. And what happened after that, it kind of flipped the switch on like the movie the ambience of it. And what happened was the friend who passed away, he wasn't saved. And what happened to him, it showed where he was after that. And what happens after death, there's only two places there are to go. It's either heaven or hell. And what happened to him was he ended up in hell. And it showed really vividly what hell looked like. It was a very dark place. There was fire everywhere. There was people screaming. And everyone was screaming and people were just burning. And it was really hot. And you could tell it wasn't really a comfortable place to be in. And so after watching that as a 6 or 7 year old, I really, I was truly scared. After the meeting, after the message, after watching the movie, I went back home and I spoke to mom and I said, like, hey, after watching the movie, I felt really uncomfortable. And I asked her, like, what do I have to do in order to not be in that situation, not go to hell? Because as a kid, you get scared and you want to go to heaven. You want to see the good side. And so mom explained to me what you have to do. And that is to accept the Lord as your Savior and believe that Jesus actually died on the cross for you, that God sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And it doesn't matter who we are or what we've done or how old we are. It could be as a kid. I was 6 years old, 7 years old. And you don't have to be too young or too old to accept that that Jesus died on the cross for us. And so I realized that I was a sinner. So we prayed. And that was the night when I got saved. And I'd love to say that ever since then, life was perfect. Everything was a happy ending, everything like that. But that was not really the case with me. And so time went on. We moved to BC. I started grade 4 there. And you kind of have to make friends again, kind of open up to a whole different environment and stuff like that. And so we moved there, made new friends, and just as a little kid, I was just hanging out with guys, playing soccer, playing basketball, playing sports, just your regular stuff. And I just lived my life, and I told people that I was saved, I was a Christian, and I went to church. I sometimes invited them over to the church on Sunday mornings and asked them if they want to stay over the night, we'll go to church the next day. But at the same time, I wasn't really living it, and I wasn't really sharing the gospel with them. And I think it's just because I was a little shy, a little scared of what they would think of me, which is something I should not have thought about. But that's just how that went. And so I lived my life like that for most of it. And then what happened after that, we moved from BC to here about 8 or 9 years ago. And I just want, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'll be just looking over a few passages. So right now, I'll just, if you have your Bibles, I'll just get you to open to Proverbs chapter 13, verses 20. Now I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. The reason why is because I like the way it words it very well. And I believe this is something that is really applicable to what most of us, right now. I know myself personally, when I read the book of Proverbs or even read anything in the Bible, I think to myself, okay, yeah, this is, of course, obviously we have to do this. This is just basic stuff. We don't really actually put it into work. So Proverbs chapter 13, verses 20 says this: "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now the Hebrew translation, the actual translation for that word, destroyed, is broken. "By a companion of fools shall be broken." And so me, when I moved from BC to here, it was another change I had to make. I had to make new friends, kind of fit into the high school setting. And so that's what I pretty much had to do when I moved here. I had to restart a whole thing again and try to make people like me again. And to do that, I did things that would please them. Which wasn't the thing I should have done, just to make new friends a lot easier. And I made a lot of mistakes that I probably shouldn't have done, and I regret most of the things I did. And the reason why is because at the same time as I was doing these things, I was saying I was a Christian, which should not have happened, and that's not what we're supposed to do. And that's what a lukewarm Christian looks like. That's what a Christian sitting down the fence looks like, and that's not what God wants us to be. We're supposed to serve God when we're a Christian, serve him, and not, we can't serve two masters. And so I was saying I was a Christian, but I wasn't living it. And that went on for a few years, from high school all the way to around college. And then when I hit university, it kind of really clicked into me, the fact that I'm saying I'm a Christian. And I really looked in the Bible, and I read as much as I could just to really dive into the Word and really get to know God more. And so what happened with me was, as I was thinking about it, what it really means to be a Christian, it truly means to not live like the world would live, and it means how Jesus would live. And I know that's almost impossible because Jesus was perfect. And we can't be perfect, but we can try our very best to be like him. We're called to be Christians, to be followers of him. And so I had a change of mind and a heart by saying that I did not want to live that life again, and no more. I wanted to be a Christian. If I'm going to say I'm a Christian, I have to back that up. I can't be doing a whole other thing, because I realized that even my friends in high school, if I was saying I was a Christian, but at the same time I'm living a different way, the way that they would live. So that made it kind of complicated for me to share the gospel with them, because if I said I was a Christian and if I shared the gospel, they would look at me and say, like, what's the difference between you and I? Like, we're living the same life, but you're saying you're a Christian. And so that really impacted me, and really, I guess, affected just the way I looked at my life and relived my whole, relived the way I lived. And one important thing that I really believe should have been done with me at the very beginning was have a true relationship with God. And if I did have that true relationship with God, that means praying every day, reading my Bible every day like I'm supposed to do. It would have been maybe a little different situation. Because I just want to use this quick example on how the relationship with God, how it's it can be used. For example, let's say I wake up in the morning and I don't say hi to Taylor, my wife. I just kind of wake up, do my thing, go to work, don't talk to her at all. Between that time of me waking up and going to work and me not talking to her at all, she's going to know something's off. So let's say I don't talk to her throughout the whole week or the whole day going to work. I come back, and the only thing I say is, what's for supper? Now, she's going to think something's off here. I'm only talking to her because I want something from her. And that's how I found my relationship with God was. I didn't really have that relationship talking to him at all, or reading my Bible or praying. I just pretty much asked and prayed to him whenever I needed something, whether that be if I'm going to exams and I got something coming up and I say, okay, I need your help to pass this exam. Have me get like an A or at least a 90%. And I was hoping for something to happen, but that's not the reality of how a relationship is supposed to work. A relationship is supposed to be talking with that person daily and having a strong bond with them. And I just want to thank the chapel actually right now for just the great work and the great job that they do with the youth group. I know when I first moved here, I made a lot of friends, not only in high school, but I also made a lot of good friends here at the chapel too. And I believe that because of the guys with that I made friends here at the chapel and the people that I met here at the chapel, they were able to encourage me, and we were able to encourage one another. And I know there's some people that are some kids that are in high school or younger that do come to the chapel. I really, truly encourage you to spend time with people here at the church, because those are the people that will be there for you and help you out. Because right now, I graduated high school a long time ago, and I don't even talk to the people that I went to high school with anymore that much. But the people that I do talk to the most are the ones who I went to church with. I even had a few of the guys who were here in my wedding, which was truly a blessing to have. But right now, things have been different. God has worked in my life pretty good, and I'm not going to say that my life's been perfect right now either. I'm not reading my Bible as much as I should be, but I truly aim to walk that walk, walk that talk. And it's really important to have people around you to encourage you and help you out and build you up and help each other out. And I was truly encouraged by Morgan's testimony a few weeks ago, how he came up. It takes a lot for someone to give their testimony and really dive into what has been going through in their past. And I really was encouraged by that, and I know that I myself have been in that similar situations. And I liked how he brought up the book of Ecclesiastes. I know myself personally, like the people who know me the best, they know I love that book. And the reason why I like that book is because it really opens up a whole different look of the world. Solomon had all these things that you could think of, land, the house, the money, everything. But at the very end of it, it meant nothing. Like nothing on this earth means, it's just nothing. It fades away. And the really important thing that really is important is God and that relationship with God. And only God can satisfy us, because at the end of it, whenever we pass from this earth, everything that we have here is not going to come with us. What happens after here is either we meet God in heaven or we go to hell. And that's what truly is important for our lives, is getting to know God and really getting to spend to know him and spending time with him. I just want to look over a few passages here. If you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, start at verse 4. Running a little bit low on time, but I'll just go quickly through this. I really enjoyed this passage. I was reading this quite a few times, and I believe this section over here explains really good on how people take the Word of God into their lives and how they use it. And so I'll start at verse 4. One day Jesus told a story to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across the field, some fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seeds fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that had those 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand." Now, this is when it really it explains what the parable, what he just said, what it really means, and how we are supposed to take it in. So verses 11 said, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe it for a while, and they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity." And if I were to put myself in one of these situations, I think I'd put myself in verses 14. And the reason why is because I believe God, but there's just so many things, like it says here, the riches and pleasures of this life. You get so foggy with all that stuff. You get so carried away with what's on this earth. But we're supposed to focus on what's important, and that's God. And so verse 15 says, "And the seed that fell on the good soil represents honest and good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest." And verses 16 says, "No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp that is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought into the light and made known to all. So pay attention to you to hear, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, but those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them." Now, so verses 11 and 15, it talks about the different people when they hear God's word. And then verses 16, it talks about the truth, the light. And the light is the truth of Jesus. And we're to aim to be that light and share God's news. Whenever we have a light, whether it be a candle or just a small light, it's supposed to light up a dark place, and it's supposed to brighten up the place. We're not supposed to cover it up. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. I know myself, I was at a young age, even still during high school and the college years, I was at that situation where I was kind of hiding my light. Like, I had the light, but it wasn't really lighting up the place. And we are supposed to share that light and share that gospel, the truth, with other people around us. And even in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, you don't have to turn to that, but Jesus said, come to me, come with me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so as Christians, we are supposed to be fishers of men and let that light shine, spread it to others around us, whether it be people at school or at work. We're supposed to seek those opportunities to share that with them, because it is truly the good news, and it's it really could save a person's life. And we're supposed to seek those opportunities. So I really hope at the end of this, I truly hope and pray that you may be encouraged to really share that gospel. I know it's not easy. I know for myself it's not easy. But with the help of God, if we pray and ask him to give us the strength and give us the wisdom to know what to say to people, whether it be people at work or school, that he may do that through us. And we're not to give up, even though there will be times where we may not feel like that seed was planted on the right path. So don't give up or don't be discouraged when some of our efforts fail, because there will be some of those seeds that do land on the good soil and it will grow into something beautiful. So our goal is to have a strong relationship with God also. This is also for me speaking, to really grow with him and get to know him more, talk with him, read the word. And I know it's not easy. There are times, schedules that are super busy. And that's why with me, myself, when it gets to times like that, I grab my audio Bible and I just put it on in the car, and I could go for a few chapters from home to work. And so at the same time, doing that is super easy. You get the word of God at least throughout the day or in the morning. So we should aim to be the good soil, and to follow Jesus no matter what the cost is, and to spread the good news. So I pray that they may encourage you, and I'll just pass it on to our brother Jerry.
Thank you, Caleb. That was very good. Let's look to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have to call you Father. Lord, as we come before thee, as we've gathered around your emblems and remembered your Son, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would use my words, and Lord, that you would speak through Caleb's testimony and mine, that we might honor and glorify you in our lives, the lives that you've given us, Lord, to be used by you. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to your word, Lord, that it might guide and direct us. And we think of those who maybe know not thee this evening, maybe watching or here present, Lord. Just work in hearts. We all have different paths that we have trod, and Lord, that you've brought us through. And we pray, Lord, that you'd guide and bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a long time since I've given my testimony. And in some ways, I don't know if I've ever given a complete testimony of how the Lord has worked in my life. For a long time, I couldn't even earmark whether I was saved when I was younger or a little later on, as I'll get into. But I've come to realize that God has had his hand on my life for a long time. And so I'll just go through some details of my life. I was raised in a family that honored God, but it was a quiet, I believe my mom and dad both knew the Lord, But when I was growing up, I really didn't see much example of it other than the way they lived. They lived a very good life, and I always saw them as doing what was right. They read the Word of God nightly, but they did that probably after I was in bed most of the time. So I knew of it, but I didn't have any, there wasn't any conversation around the Lord and that when I was younger. But then in about 1964, when I was 11 years old, I was taken to a Billy Graham conference here in Charlottetown. And the Word of God spoke to my heart. And through that time, I came to know the Lord as my Savior. And for a long time, I looked at that time and I wasn't sure. But I see now, looking back, I can see God's hand on my life through those years that after that Billy Graham conference. And he led me into his word myself, but I also recognized that I didn't have a lot of teaching that really showed me what it was to be and walk as a Christian. So over a period of time, from the time I was 11 till that was in 1964 until about 1972, I attended another conference, a young people's conference in Moncton through the Presbyterian Church where I was at the time, and through Brother Tim McDougall, who was working with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at the time. He presented the gospel in a very clear light there, and also the need to really follow the Lord and put the Lord first. And at that time, I recommitted my life to the Lord, and it was a definite change. It was a definite change in purpose and desire to really be out and be a testimony and a witness for the Lord. So also he used another friend of mine that I came in contact with about this time who had come to the Lord as well in a different manner. But we encouraged each other, and he had heard of a group called the New Christian Singers. And through him, I got pulled into that, and I spent 3 years with the New Christian Singers. And we did toured throughout the island and the Maritimes, singing and giving testimonies and witnessing about the Lord, and always making opportunity for a response for people to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a tremendously growing time in my life. When I went to the New Christian Singers, it wasn't any song test, singing test, or anything like that. The test was that you knew the Lord and you wanted to serve him, and also that you were willing to put the ministry of the choir first. And if you were willing to make that commitment, then you could go on. It ran from 16 to 27 people, different times, different amounts. The other thing that we were asked to do when you come on was, whatever you were asked to do, to do it. It was a ministry of the Lord, and that's how it was presented to you. And if you were asked to sing a solo and you never sang a solo before, well, you give it your best shot and do the best you can. I think of one of the brothers that was involved in that group, and he literally was tone deaf. And yet he sang with the choir the whole time, and you would listen to it and you would not hear it. So I always felt that the Lord took the hearts and the desire of those young people, and myself included, and he used it because we were trusting him for what was going on in our lives. So out of that, about the same time, I graduated from high school and moved into working with Island Telephone, and from there I met my wife, Sharon, and I used to do a little bit of a do-si-do on Wednesday night. I was still at the Presbyterian Church. I was trying to lead a prayer meeting after Bible study on Wednesday nights there, and that wouldn't last all that long. And then I'd beat it to the chapel, and I'd come in just as the chapel was having the prayer time. And that was my first introduction to the chapel here. And then as I spent more time with Sharon and coming here, I felt that the chapel was, I'll step back a little bit, with the New Christian Singers and singing with that group of 27 people from all walks of life, right from some who were out of the Catholic Church, right from the United Church, just across a wide spectrum of people. But the main thing was they were people who loved the Lord. They had come to a personal relationship in the Lord. So when I came into the chapel, I had seen from singing in different places what one group would emphasize over another group. And so when I came into the chapel and I heard the word of God spoken and people trying to live it, I felt like this is where I want to be. And so I came to the chapel and started to attend here. And then in 1977, Sharon and I were married here. And there we went. We were involved, I guess even before we were married, I got involved in ministry camp. I had been involved in camp ministry before in the Presbyterian Church. But when I came here, Brother Savan, he'd put a big arm around you and say, "You have any interest in camp?" And that was it. I think of Boyd and Lou, or different ones, sort of older men that put their arm around me and guided me in the work of camp. And just, it was a tremendous ministry to me when I came here first and was newly married. Those men, working with them and sharing with them about the Lord and walking through life was just tremendous. And then the Lord granted us twin boys to start our family and in 79, and then in 81 we're blessed with a daughter. And we had the privilege of raising our children in this place, having them involved in camp, in the ministry at camp, and serving at camp themselves. Just tremendous the way the Lord has used his word and the Christians in this place, Lord, to bless our family. I thank you. Lord, you've ministered to us in ways that we could never fully ever pay you for. And it's great to see my children know you and are striving to serve you. But yet even in that, you always have concerns with your children and how they're walking with the Lord, and I'm no different than anybody else. And I pray that the Lord would continue to work in their lives and consequently in our grandchildren's lives, of which we have seven. I would say that over my lifetime, since I got saved, that my focus has been to serve and live for the Lord. I've not always done that well. Just like Caleb was saying, you have times and seasons in your lives when you struggle as a young person. You're trying to fit in. Even when you're trying to be a testimony, you still don't want to be ostracized. But at the same time, there comes a point where you have to stand your ground. But there's also times when we don't stand our ground. We slip and we fall. We have to come back to the Lord and ask his forgiveness and ask him to continue and carry us on. It's about his work in our lives, not us. And over the last 4 years, I would say, I've gone through a fairly deep struggle. There's been, I can't get into all the details, but there's been a struggle in our home, in our family, and it has been very hard on us both. And yet, we've had the confidence that the Lord knows these things and there's a purpose, and he will bring about the blessing of each of the ones involved. I praise him for that, and yet I find it difficult. I've been going through the last few years caused by some varying things, which has caused me to reflect on my action, of the things I've done and not done, and how they affected my family, others, and me. This has been a painful and caused me to read God's word more and call out him for proper ways to respond and make amendments where necessary. This is still a work in progress. It is in God's hands, and I need to keep this in mind as he guides me through. I can say this has deepened my walk with God, but he has still things for me to learn. I made a little note. What has God been teaching me? And I said, I need not to depend on my abilities, but to wait on God, which goes against my natural nature. Depend on me, what I can do. Depend on the things that even God has given me as gifts, as far as abilities. But Lord, I need to depend on you, not on me. And would I do anything different in my life if I could, if I could live it over? I would depend more on God and way less on me and my natural abilities. Guard time with my family in order to have a greater spiritual influence. Time is short. And I especially think of those of you who are just married, those of you with young families. Take time. Life will sap the daylights out of you. Even good things of the Lord's work will do the same thing. I think of things that Sharon and I look at that were good things that we did. But looking back, I don't think they were God's will for us. And I think that's a dangerous thing. Because we're not promised. God promises strength and security to do what he sets before us. But when we take on jobs that are not his to give, we do two things. We enter into a situation where we're not equipped because it's not our work. And we also rob somebody else of their work. So be careful. I say that cautiously because I also feel that there's a great need for all of us, but young people especially, to make commitment. Pray about what God wants you to do, and then when he shows you, you make a commitment and you do it. You stay with it. If it's hard, difficult, whatever, he will provide and he will bless. And I just thank him. Father, I thank you for your work in my life. And there's lots more to be done. I pray, Lord, that you would use the testimony I've given this evening, Lord, to honor and glorify your name, and that people would praise you for what you have done in and through my life and Caleb's life, and that you will guide and bless us and carry us. And we realize there will be challenge, Lord, because you've promised, you've told us, Lord, that as we're about your work, we're living for you, Satan is going to oppose us. Lord, give us your strength and your guidance, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.